Friday night, America, and that can only mean one thing. It's time for WrestleTalk on the Cable Radio Network. Whether you tuned in on cable, on satellite, or on the World Wide Web, you're listening to the most talked about show on the air. From Raw to Thunder, from Nitro to Heat, get the latest SmackDown and talk live with the greatest guests, all tonight on WrestleTalk. And now, here's your host, a man who's covered the squared circle for over 35 years, wrestling fame photojournalist, Dr. Mike Lado. Time once again to say, what's up, Doc?
All right, everybody. Paul Madrid, our trusty engineer, want to thank everybody. We are back here, full another hour. We have scanned our record, doesn't have to stay the full hour. But we've got the General of Self, Devastation Incorporated, one of the all-time greats, still young. Skandar, if people want to get a hold of you, let's get that information right out there. If they want to train with the best, if they want to come and see your shows or get a hold of you for gimmicks, do you have a website or a mailing address besides the phone I want you to give out?
Well, I do have a website. A lovely lady in Arkansas does this for me. And I want to make sure about this thing here because she does everything for me, and then of course she relates on to what the people that and we've had about 25,000 hits since we started this, and it's only been going on for about a year, and I believe. If you'll just bear with me here, and this is what is happening.
Let's see, Buddy Huggins. Buddy, do you know what the, let's bring up Buddy. Do you know their specific promotional website address?
Do what?
Well, I'm asking Buddy Huggins, who's on, if he knows, if he can help you out.
Buddy, it's Devastation Max Pages, I believe. Isn't that right, Buddy?
Yes, sir. And if they get a little confused, what they can do is go to the MidSouthWrestling.com website and look for the Skandar Akbar Devastation Incorporated link. It has your picture on it, and it takes you right to the great Skandar Akbar's website. And
thank
I'm proud
you, buddy.
To talk to you tonight and wish you all the best with all your endeavors. That show in Oklahoma, that's going to be great.
It should be a real good show, buddy, and I appreciate everything you've done also.
Yeah, Buddy, can you believe Jim Duggan, we were talking with him a little bit about Skandar and, you know, the incident when he left UWF for Vince McMahon with the fire and all of that, and now it's like a dream event. Kamala, Skandar, and Jim Duggan all in the same place at one time?
Yes, yes. I talked to Kamala, James Harris, yesterday. His phone's been ringing. I have a website up for him on the Mid-South site also, and he gets his email directly through me, so we've been getting
would you tell him I recommended
email,
him he's on that show in Antioch, California. I recommended him to those two guys. They were asking me for a legendary talent, Earthquake Ferris and Johnny Payne, and I also recommended him to Kirk Wade, who's using him in San Jose on next Saturday. So Kamala is in demand. Giant Kamala, once again, is all over, and fans love him, and I know he'll be, he may not show that love back, but I know he appreciates the people coming and supporting him just the same.
Well, Mr. Akbar, yes. I started my website because of the death of the Junkyard Dog.
Yes.
And if I can help a James Harris, a Kamala, get noticed one more time. Let him get just to do service, you know, which is what we all need, green cash.
Sure.
I'm proud to be able to help in that area. You're a living legend.
Well, thank you.
You remember when these guys we're talking about started. You Junkyard Dog wrestled his first match right here in my hometown in Greenwood, Mississippi.
Ted
DiBiase wrestled once that day in Louisiana, and that night he came to Greenwood, Mississippi. You remember Greenville, Greenwood, Jackson, Mississippi?
Oh, do I ever. I can remember. Certainly I do. Yes, those Mississippi towns like Louisiana, Arkansas, they were always great, great wrestling towns. Of course, you remember George Culkin, I'm sure, and George Curtis, George Culkin, and he was the promoter. And gosh, I remember that one feud I had with Armand Hussein, and you know, he was a big babyface with me, of course, you know, and nobody seemed to want to do anything with Armand, and I took him there in the slow time of the year, which was March and April, and my God, we'd sell out Vicksburg, Greenville, and Greenwood. On every occasion, and that went on and on there for about 2 or 3 months, and I think you remember that. And of course, later on, when Bill came in, and things began to escalate even more, and I have some very, very great memories in Mississippi and Louisiana too. And of course, you know, one of the most infamous nights was the bulletproof vest thing. You know, I had so many death threats that time when we came back with Kamala and Duggan after this, that the New Orleans Police Department came to the Superdome and insisted that I wear a bulletproof vest. That's a true story. So, my God, they just took us out there, and they were, they literally carried me from the ring after that. We'd go with the golf cart, and I think I had Kamala with me that night and the One Man Gang, and we were all on a golf cart, and then the police carried me just to around the ring, and it was really an eventful. It sticks out in my career as really it was a scary night. But then again,
well, I remember one scary night in Greenville, Mississippi.
Yes.
We were at the Calumet Skating Ring. The year was 1971 or 72.
Wow!
And the fans actually figured out which one was your car, and they cut your car tires.
Yes, they did. I've had my tires cut a lot of times around there.
And it wasn't a rib either.
And there's a town that below Greenwood, and I believe it's called Chula. Am I right?
Chula.
Yes.
Yeah. King
and,
Cobra.
I can remember
Jimmy Green's from there.
I can remember my car always ran good. I always had a good car, but they had followed me out of Greenwood. It was serious that night, and I went through Chula. And of course, you know, Chula is predominantly a black community. And my car started kind of chugging when I went through there. And I said, oh, my goodness. Well, is my car going to die here or what? Or am I going to die here?
Uh-huh.
And that's how, you know, and I just got through doing that thing with Armand. And, of course, later on with JYD was unbelievable. I remember going in, I was going to pick up some chicken for Kamala and myself. And, of course, I was so conspicuous. We never took Kamala in restaurants or anything like that. We never did anything that way because people would see me and they'd see him, and we took care of all these things. You know, we just had food to go. So I walked into this place. It was in St. Francisville, Louisiana. I'll never forget that. And they had a huge picture of JYD. And I started backpedaling out of there, and I said, well, I don't think this is the place to be. Because, you know, in those days, Mike, you know, they would mess with your food, too.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. You'll never see that in this business anymore, you know, that kind of heat.
Ask, next time you see Greg Valentine, ask him about an infamous food fight. He and John Tolis in 1973 were throwing French fries at each other right in Hollywood, California at a McDonald's. Got booted out of the restaurant.
No, I'll certainly I will tell the turtle that. I sometimes, you know, he nicknamed the turtle. Greg is a great guy, and I loved his father too, and I love Greg. He's a good guy, and I'll certainly tell him that.
It was a full fledged food fight. Let me ask you, because you go back so long, who broke you into the business? What were some stories about how you started in wrestling?
Well, Mike, actually, I had two uncles that went way back, my mother's brothers, and they were professional wrestlers, too, but one was more known, and he was one of the first sheiks before even Eddie, you know. And
really?
He called himself Sheik Abdullah. Now, that's going way, way back, and on occasions when I was a small boy, and I'd go to the wrestling matches with my uncles, and then all of a sudden this thing is, you know, it gets into your blood, and this is what I always wanted to do. And, of course, Lou Fez knew them. He helped me quite a bit in the business. I'd say Lou Fez, you know, and then Leroy McGurk gave me my first break. I got a lot of help from Lou, and there's several guys that
Mr. Agbar, can I mention one of the names?
What's
Jack,
that?
Jack Curtis Sr. and Jack Curtis Jr.
Yes.
Jack Curtis Sr.
Yeah, they were instrumental, too, and, you know, there's a long list that's really helped me a great deal in this business. And I remember the great Mephisto, he helped me, too, and you know, the list goes on, and, you know,
Frankie Kane has been to some of our Cauliflower Alley in Mobile.
Yeah, Frankie, I love Faye. He's a great man, and, you know, he was a great creator. He had such a creative mind, but he really never got the credit that he really deserves in that particular field, but...
We've got a break, guys, so we talk about Frankie Kane, the great Mephisto, a lot. We're going to be back here on Russell Talk with General Skandar Akbar.
And I'm going to tell you a story about Akbar.
Today's news is filled with signs that the economy has slowed down, and there are continuing stories of layoffs and downsizing. But computer-related fields seem to be weathering the storm better than others. That's because almost every company needs computer-skilled people to keep its systems up and running. If you think you'd like a career in information technology, call 1-800-872-9100 for a brochure on computer-related programs of study at ITT Technical Institute. At ITT Tech, you can study computer networking, web development, computer drafting and design, and much more. You can keep your present job while you attend classes and still earn a degree in just 2 years. Financial aid is available to those who qualify, and career services are available as soon as you begin classes. So if you're interested in a career that might stand up to economic changes, call 1-800-872-9100 for your ITT Tech brochure. That's ITT Tech, 1-800-872-9100.
Since the dawn of time, man has been fascinated with game shows. And wherever history has been made, Game Show Network was there. It was the pharaohs who understood the power of the $25,000 pyramid. The Romans, however, enjoyed the friendly competition of family feud, while the newlywed game was a favorite of Henry VIII and his soon-to-be headless wives. From nostalgic episodes to original interactive programming, Game Show Network keeps the world at play. Game Show Network. Why just watch when you can play?
Give us a call, toll-free from anywhere in the USA, 1-800-336-2225. That's our number to join us on our program today here at CRN. Give us a call, toll-free, 1-800-336-2225.
All right, we are back here, and we've got a lot of callers tonight. Buddy, let me have you quickly finish up with Skandar Akbar, and then we're going to go next to Louisville, Kentucky, and Mark there.
Well, George Calkin wanted me to tell you, I talked to him just this past week, told him you were going to be on the show. George Calkin is 83 years old. He said that he remembered seeing you the very first time you came to Mississippi. You were with your two uncles, and he knew from just seeing you that with your eyes wide open watching your uncles do what they do, that he knew that this business was going to be right for you. And let me go ahead and mention to all the fans, anybody that thinks they want to be a wrestler, or even if you're out there in the independent scene and you call yourself wrestling, you're not really a wrestler unless you're trained by the greats. If you go to the www.midsouthwrestling.com, look for the school. That school is not ran by Buddy Huggins. I don't teach wrestling. What I do is I hook these young kids up with all the legends. And depending on what part of the country you're from, if you're from Texas, there's no other person to ask except General Skandar Akbar.
All right, buddy.
From Florida, that door is
locked. Oh.
Harley Race is involved with me, and Les Thatcher's involved also. So depending on what part of the country you're from, if you're from Texas, go to Akbar School, and you can see that at www.midsouthwrestling.com. Mike Akbar, I'm going to let y'all go ahead and finish talking, but we love the memories, and we need to figure out a way to make it back like it was. Somehow, somewhere down the road, we can figure out a way to do it if we all work together and somehow it's got to get back to some semblance of wrestling, because that's what it's all about. The actual physical contact of two men, uno one-o, wrestling, hooking it up, like Bill Watts used to say, hook it up.
That's probably why Bill doesn't watch. Bill doesn't, well, he's got a beautiful wife. I'd be watching her instead of wrestling myself.
Oh, yeah, that's
the truth. Buddy, thank you.
Appreciate
it. Let's get those phone numbers. We're going to bring in Mark from Louisville, Kentucky next. Ack, what are the phone numbers again to get a hold of you and your school?
972-272-4770. And also, you can call area code 214-415-8703.
All right. Mark from Louisville, Kentucky, you're on with Skandar Akbar.
Yeah,
hi, Mark. How are you doing?
I got a question for y'all.
Yes.
You ever heard of a wrestling team called BBW?
With who?
BBW.
No, I'm sorry, I haven't. Do you have a specific question for Skandar?
No. I got a question that, whatever happened to Stevie Ray and Brian Knobbs and Conan?
I'll answer that. Let's go next to Jason from Las Vegas. Stevie Ray's on a pay-per-view this Sunday, and Brian Knobbs, of course, instrumental with the XW that Skandar was talking about. When Terry Funk was wrestling Greg Valentine, I heard the place went electric for that.
Yes, they did. You know, of course, especially in Amarillo, they did. They had Lubbock and Hobbs also, and I was out there too. And of course, that was it was really a great mesh there. Terry, they still love him there, and they remember the Funk legacy quite well, and of course the Valentine legacy, and then Akbar. So we really had it. Now, earlier in the show, I believe that you were talking about Steve Nelson.
Gordon Nelson.
Well, Steve's son. Gordon Nelson was actually married to Marie Laverne.
And her mother was Ann.
Ann Laverne, yes. And her husband, which would be, the stepfather to Marie, was the great Bobby Lane, Bobby Pico. Pancho Villa. Do you remember him?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was.
But Gordon Nelson, was I wrong? I thought he wrestled in the Olympics for Canada. I'm sure he did.
Yeah, I don't know whether he did or not, but I do know that he was mighty, mighty talented on that mat. So,
it was
sad,
a guy of his total talent level, he was setting up the ring for WCW for the last few years.
That's right. And when I went to Amarillo, I didn't get a chance to see he or Steve, either one, or Mary. And but I do know that he had a stroke, but I believe that he's doing very, very well now.
Right, because there was another legend that worked for Leroy and Bill, who was doing the ring setup, Klondike Bill.
Oh, yes, the great Klondike Bill. Yes, I remember Klondike Bill very, very well. And I tell you what, there's no human being on the face of the earth that could out-eat him. I don't think so.
Was he teamed with Jake Roberts' dad, or who was Klondike Bill?
Well, Klondike Bill came along when the partnership with Vern Gagne and Fritz Von Erich transpired down here, and I believe that I told you about that when we spoke earlier this week,
right,
of how that was supposed to be. And Klondike Bill was one of the talent that Vern had sent down there. Grizzly came with Luke Brown. They were the Kentuckians.
Oh, that's right.
And they had a magnificent run with Tom and Joe, you know, the Assassins. As a matter of fact, I talked to my friend Joe Hamilton before we went on the air tonight.
Did you? And he was probably one of the greatest guys on the stick ever.
Oh, he's a wonderful guy. And believe it or not, he and Grizzly had talked, and Grizz called me, and then I talked with Joe earlier, and of course Nick's, his boys working up there with Vince, which is good.
And, but he hasn't been on TV lately.
Well, I don't know what the deal is, but I do know they're taking care of him, and this is what Joe was telling me. And, you know, I just love those guys because, you know, it takes you back to the times, and then again, you know, they do some good things today, but it's not like we were. It's, I could not walk into the arena with my opponent. There is no way that I could do that. I mean, that's just not me. And there's a lot of the old vets that are just like me, and I still continue this business. But I do it as much as the old way that I can. And I think this is something that the fans love to see. And you know, when we're booking these shows out here, I have run into a lot of, I work with DARE, MHMR, mental health, mental retardation. DARE and some of these great sponsors and everything like that. And the first thing they asked me is, well, now, we don't want any of that racy language and stuff like they do on television. I said, well, you're not going to get it here. So run a family show. I mean, it's an intense show. I mean, but it's also family. Well, I get off on a tangent. Go ahead, Mike.
More power to you. Jason from Las Vegas, are you there?
Yes, I am, Dr. Mike.
Jason, go right ahead and chime on in.
All right. Well, first of all, let me say that it's a tremendous pleasure to talk to a legend like General Skandor Akbar.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, I've followed you, Mr. Akbar, since world class in the early 80s. And I just got a quick question for you. Of all the talent that you've managed, okay, throughout Devastation Incorporated and everything else, if you had to pick your favorite talent that you manage of all time, who would that be?
Well, I probably would have to go with Kamala.
Kamala.
You understand this, Killer Khan, the one-man gang, even the Super Ds, these guys, I mean, some of these guys had no parallel in this business. But if I had to really choose, if they backed me into a corner, I believe I would have to take Kamala.
Wow, that's great. I just saw one of my old tapes, the NWA Great American Bash in 1985.
Right.
You were in Kamala's corner facing Magnum TA, and that was a great match.
I remember that.
Yes,
as a matter of fact, I think I might have that in my library.
Yeah, I just watched it last night. But anyway, I won't take up any more of your time. I just wanted to...
Well, that's all right, Chase. What's going on in the Vegas area? Because Tricky Nick Bockwinkel, there's quite a few legends there. Bob Orton Sr.
Mm-hmm.
and Lord Pinkerton, Bob McCune, is ailing, mm-hmm. and he lives right in the Vegas area. So we want to send get well wishes to him. But anything happening with the promotion that Nick Bockwinkel helps and Jimmy Snuka helps with Jimmy's son is in it?
Basically, all I know about their league is that they run a wrestling school over off of Industrial. That's Buffalo Gym. They're back behind the Rio. They run the Las Vegas Wrestling Academy, and as far as I know, they do free shows every Friday night.
Really?
Yeah. So far I haven't been able to get out and actually see one, but I have checked out the BWF. That's on a local public access station here in Vegas for about a half hour, and I don't know, it leaves a lot to be desired, Dr. Mike. I'll be honest with you.
Well, I think the promoter, wants to be involved with everything.
Yeah, it's a shoddy. I mean, there's, 12 people in the crowd, You can tell that the show is taped in, some guy's garage, And I just can't...
The old way. What about the, a lot of the class wrestlers, when they look at some of this hardcore stuff or a hardcore match where the guys are using all kinds of ridiculous, soft gimmicks, soft trash cans, etc., it seems to me, and from the 70s and the 60s, the old adage, I say this every week, was you didn't become a pro wrestler for about 7 years. It took you 7 years to where, if you had it, you were going to have it as a talent. And some of this hardcore match stuff, it looks to be an excuse for not having ability.
Well, yes, I'm sure they look at that. Exactly, just what you said, Mike. I said earlier to learn crowd psychology in this business, how to orchestrate a crowd. And, you bring them up and you take them down. People don't learn these things. I try to teach this because it's so very, very important. There was the day we didn't give 35 clotheslines and chairs and the tables on the outside of the ring, and those things weren't needed in those days. But the thing is, they don't learn. They just don't learn the crowd psychology and really how to use that squared circle the proper way because of that, what's happening these days. But then again, the hardcore to me is you see it all once, and then there's no mistake about it again. Where do you go from there? That's what I'm trying to say.
We're it's okay when it's incorporated. If you get somebody with ability like Bruiser Brody, and a lot of the awards are named after him, well, fine, he would incorporate it, but it wouldn't dominate, you know, the match. He wouldn't be using stop signs and, you know, dried oxygen, those tanks, and all of this other rigmarole, because
Mike,
it's like cheap heat.
From personally dealing with it, not as much, but I can tell you right now that it's a passe thing here, around here, because a lot of people don't want it, and we don't really give them to it. I mean, there's some of these little independents, and that's another story too. You know, when the after the territories and the regions died, then you had the backyards come in, and then the small independents and.
Don't get me started on backyard.
Oh, I understand. I know you feel just the way I do.
It's so wrong, and it wouldn't have started if it wasn't for a lot of this stuff. Let me ask you before we go into another break. We've got a lot of sponsors. You know, a lot of people talk this and that, and, oh, gee, it was horrible, all the Von Erich kids died. But what if all of the Von Erich kids had lived, including David, and he would have... would have been world champion. I'm guessing Kerry had enough ability, he would have also been a world champion, so he would have had, like, the Funk Brothers.
Yes.
What would have happened to world class had all of those Von Erich kids lived and there wasn't all the, you know, the tragedies and the supposed curse, Gino Hernandez, so many guys, we've lost so many of the greats from world class, but
absolutely.
What if everyone had lived? I wonder... I don't know because
the
Fritz
key,
also had a
Mike,
chance.
The
to
key
go
to the Von Erichs was David. David had probably the best ability in that ring. Now, of course, the most athletic ability was Kerry and Kevin. But now David had not he died. What they were going to do is put David in the office eventually, and he was going to take the promotion. But of course, that didn't happen. So. You know, it never panned out with Kevin and Kerry either. And of course, Mike really didn't want the business. You know, he was a musician. A lot of people did not know this. And Mike didn't want the business. He was a musician. And of course, the young kid Chris, he just didn't have the physical tools and the capabilities that his brothers had. But he wanted the business worse than all of them. But had David lived, I believe that they would still be going. I really do. I think there was such a strong hometown pitch in Dallas and in the Mid-South that it was hard. Even when New York came in, it took them a long time to draw a house in Louisiana, a long, long time. And here in Dallas, it took a while, and, you know, that's the reason Kerry went there, you know, with the Texas tornado and, you know, to come back to Texas, of course, you know, times have changed. I'm sure they're drawing more now, but it was very, very difficult because we had a hometown pitch means that the people found themselves in with the wrestling, and that's the way it was. Whether you were hated or whether you were liked, it was still what we called a hometown pitch, and it was very, very hard to crack. But had David lived, you would have saw this territory go on and on.
Yeah, it's really, still unfathomable. And we just lost Chris Adams not too long ago. And
that's right. We had so much talent. I have counted 18 since 1982 that have died in world class. It's like a curse here, you know, young people. It goes on and on.
And Irwin, can't think of his name, Super Destroyer.
Yeah, Scott Irwin, you know, you got Rick Rude, you know, Hernandez, Bruiser Brody, of course, the Von Erichs. I mean, the list goes on and on. I think I counted 18 of them.
And remember, Brody was over there in Japan, and he had to take care of David Von Erich when he passed away over there.
That's right. That's it. That's exactly right. And David had... his last match was on a Sunday afternoon here before he went on that Japan tour, and it was with Kamala and myself. And David had complained of stomach pains for 2 weeks, and he thought it was just, what do they call it, some kind of stomach flu. And he said he was going to have a checkup. But anyways, something, and it didn't transpire, but it had
Mac, been. Mac, we've got a commercial break. Are you still awake? You still able to hang with us for another segment?
Who, me?
Yes.
Of course.
I'm glad it's spring.
I think spring is silly.
Spring is sensational, and it's the perfect time to visit Las Vegas.
Las Vegas, yeah. Warm, sunny. It's perfect.
Hey, Las Vegas is perfect. It's the beautiful Imperial Palace. Now through May 25th, stay there center strip for only $39 weekdays and $59 weekends. Join the Players Program free and get more than $200 in added values also free, like free buffet, two-for-one legend shows, spa fitness facilities day pass, car rental day, auto collections pass, another free night later, and lots more than just warm and sunny.
I'm sure some restrictions apply.
Sure, but there's no restrictions on the fun we'll have in the heart of the action at Imperial Palace. Call toll-free 800-634-6441. That's 800-634-6441. And ask for the Spring Sensation Special at Imperial Palace. It's perfect!
Hey, I don't think spring is silly anymore.
No, you border on silly.
Hey!
But I guess I'll take you to Imperial Palace anyway. After all, their great $39 Las Vegas rooms are single or double occupancy.
Sensational!
Another memory brought to you by Dodger Stadium.
And Green drives one to right center field. Holy mackerel, his third home run. That gives him seven RBIs tonight. Sean Green.
At Dodger Stadium, every game has a story. Call 323-224-1-HIT for tickets.
Sunday, April 21st, Mervyn's presents Dia de los Niños as the Dodgers take on the Padres at 1:10. Buy one reserve-level ticket and get two children's tickets free. Call 323-224-1-HIT.
Attention men, heard about Viagra? Now there's another option available to you that can work like magic to help you sustain a healthy sexual relationship for as long as necessary. With the all-natural Male Force formula, you'll have no more embarrassing moments, no more half-hearted performance. You'll feel like a well-functioning male again. Often, penile dysfunction is due to a lack of blood flow to where it's needed, a common problem that can, in most cases, be corrected. Male Force is a new, specially formulated combination of herbs that includes Yohimbe, the only natural treatment for impotency approved by the FDA. Male Force opens the valves to give you the blood flow where it belongs without side effects. Male Force will help you get back to an active love life as nature intended.
A one-month supply of Male Force is only $24.95. Call 1-800-613-8863. Feel like a new man. Call 1-800-613-8863. 1-800-613-8863.
What do you think? How do you feel? Give us a call and tell us about it. It's toll free. 1-800-336-2225. Give us a call. Join us on CRN today. 1-800-336-2225.
Who's next?
All right. Well, who's next? Let's go, Skanda. Actually, before we go to a caller, let me have you finish your train of thought.
Well, of course, you know my train of thought is the way it was. And then again, I want to reassure everybody, if some of my boys up in New York have to be listening, that I'm not demeaning. I think they're great guys. But of course, I don't agree with all that's happening, but that's the way it is right now, but I wished it was the way it was. And that's more or less my train of thought now.
Well, it was so much fun. How about your experiences working in, it was still the Worldwide Wrestling Federation, and wasn't Jesse Ventura and Adrian Adonis, they were up there at the same time?
Yes. As a matter of fact, myself and... Jerry Blackwell was up there at that time, Old Crusher, and they had a great crew, and a great superstar, you know, Billy Graham, who, you know, I hope that things work out for him. He's a good guy, a great guy. And,
we talk about that situation. I don't think to date they've done the kidney transplant yet.
Well, I've heard that. And this is sad, but you know, let's keep our hopes and prayers up for him. And he's a great guy. Now, we had a great crew there. Of course, Mr. McMahon, I'm talking about Vince Sr., was a very, very, very great man. You know, you could mention him in the same breath as Paul Bosch, Leroy McGurk, and
Forget about that because a lot of guys really liked. They said what a gentleman Vince Sr. was.
Oh yes, indeed, yes. Yes, he really was. You know, he would tell you exactly what was going on, and you know, he wasn't. There was no. He had no ego, no egotistical mannerisms at all. And like I say, you could mention him with Paul Bosch, Leroy McGurk, Bill Watts, people like that, that were really, really sincere in their promotions. But that was a great crew up there in 1976. I can remember that, and I had a good tour up there, and then of course I came back south. But I've been in a lot of foreign countries. You know, I was in Australia in 1975, and I stayed there about 7.5 months.
Was that when Marky Lewin was still booking?
Marky was gone about that time.
Oh, okay.
He was over there.
Was Jim Barnett still there?
No, he was gone too. And there was a guy, there was two guys named Larry O'Day and Ron Miller.
Oh, right.
And, you know, they brought Cousin over there, Frankie. And really, with the limited budget that they had, we brought that place back, right back to, you know, almost the way it was.
Yeah, because that's an infamous, it was really happening there in New Zealand, and then Jim Barnett killed Australia by various accounts.
Oh, yes, yeah.
And look at the talent they had there. Abby, Killer Carl Cox, Spiros Arion, Big Bad John.
Yeah,
who was,
Mario Milano.
Yeah, the talent was all over the place.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. Unfortunately, it was done. There was so many things that happened behind the scenes that finally, I think the Australian government intervened some way. You know, it's kind of a sketchy story there, but you know, it's something that you really can't go in detail on the air about. But I do know that you know, Jim wasn't really well liked there, to say the least.
All you got to do is talk to Dickie Steinborn about Jim Barnett, and he'll go off and he'll give his impression when he called up.
There's another great name. I'll tell you, I can remember in Georgia, we had an all-night, we had a tournament for the Georgia State Championship, and Ox Baker and I defeated Dickie Steinborn and Argentina Apollo. That's what I'm trying to say right there, and I think we wrestled about four times that night. But, God, it was just great. The old City Auditorium, that's another one like the Sportatorium. It makes your heart bleed when you see those things. You know, it's gone, and the Sportatorium, some homeless people had got in there and started a fire, and it's sitting there, and it cost so much to coat it back up. When Fritz got out of it, the grandfather clause is gone, and so is the Sportatorium. But that's another story.
I think the Olympic Auditorium and the Cow Palace know about it.
The Olympic Auditorium, the Cow Palace. You're talking about legendary arenas there. And, you know, in opposition to what they do now, you know, like American Airlines here in Dallas, they built a new one, and which they had Reunion, which was really an adequate arena for us, and we sold it out numerous times here at World Class on Thanksgiving and Christmas. And I remember the 1983, they had a huge deep freeze here in December. It was really odd for this part of the country, and it didn't get up to 32 degrees for 18 days, so Christmas night it was 26, and the temperature was, we sold out arena, and I remember the football team was playing over here at Texas Stadium, and all the toilets were frozen. They were talking about that. But we still sold it out, which means things were so hot around here at that time. And, you know, you could put any Von Erich kid on the card, too, and the people were happy. And, you know, bless their hearts, I don't want to go into detail. I was at war with them on the other side of the fence, so to speak, but you know, they no-showed a lot of shows, but luckily there was somebody to take their place in the family. And it was just the spot shows around here. I live in Garland, which is a suburb of Dallas. And they had a $33,000 house over here at Williams Stadium in 1983. And that's a football stadium. And, of course, I was in Tulsa that night, wouldn't you know. DiBiase and I were doing the thing with Duggan. Beat his head in for a while, and then so I had to make the trip to Tulsa, but they took care of me. I talked to Bill about those things, you know, and but it just everybody says, wrestling's great now. It's big now. Well, it was big then. They just didn't realize that because we were regionalized. And,
like I said, if you add up all the grosses, you know, because WWF runs one to two shows when they do house shows.
Right.
If you ran all of the, put all the grosses together, or even the nets, on, say, a Friday night around the U.S., you'd weigh top.
Sure.
Easily.
Sure.
Let's go to Neon from Louisville. We're going to try to sneak in two more callers. First time caller. Neon, are you there?
Yeah, what up?
Okay. Any questions or thoughts for Skandar Akbar?
Actually, yeah. You know a lot about wrestling, right?
Pardon me?
Hello?
Yeah, I try to.
Yeah, you kind of know, right? Who's the most biggest, baddest, most bodacious wrestler you ever know?
Well, Bruce or Brody. Let's go to Jack from Minneapolis, Minnesota, Virginia, Minnesota.
Hey, hey.
I don't know, bodacious, I don't know, Bruno Sammartino or,
Yeah, I don't know, bodacious. The only thing bodacious I know is a barbecue place over in East Texas.
I know what bodacious tatas are, but we can't say that on this show.
No, we can't.
Jack from Virginia, I know you know your history.
Oh, I do very well. Hello, Mr. Akbar.
How are you, sir?
Just great. Well, I can remember all the world-class Mid-South days and everything. A couple quick things is when the UWF got bought out, was late 87, and you were kind of still in the NWA, you pretty much left that and you went to back to Texas. How come you didn't stay in the NWA, or is it something?
Well,
that you there,
that's right. There was that. That's it's kind of a different story there. Really, I saw a better opportunity back in Texas, and they did ask me to stay. At that time, I wasn't in with anybody in particular. I had Black Bart with me, and I had talked to Dusty and Crockett, some of the guys there, and. And I think the best opportunity was to come back to Texas and start rebuilding that again. And that was an opportune time for me to come back because you know, world class had taken just a little bit of a dive when the kids were still in it, but you know, the 83, 84, and 85 were on truck. I mean, they were humongous years for us here. So. That's the reason I left, and it wasn't any personal things because I got along with everybody there. But I do remember that, and you have a good memory, sir.
Let me ask you, Skander, did it bother you guys the way almost immediately Crockett, you know, I don't know what they were doing with Doc. They had a class world champion there, and he was, you know, and he was treated the best out of the bunch, but a lot of the UWF guys, they immediately had, Nikita Koloff beat Terry Taylor and unify those titles. And,
yes.
You know, they jobbed all of the fabulous UWF Watts talent, and they weren't used properly. They could have made big money, and instead, you know, they just sort of threw them into the mix, sort of half-assed.
The entire buyout was to purchase television because our ratings on Mid-South were tremendous. They were better than they were in the Carolinas. You can believe that. And I know
the product was better.
And the talent and our shows were better. And they flew me and Eddie Gilbert and a guy named Scott Muss. He was running a few house shows at Jimmy Ross. And we all went up there to meet with them, and so we thought that they were going to keep the UWF, and Eddie and I were going to do it, you know, and they asked me to do it. I said I had rather for Eddie to do it, and I'll back him up. I'll be the mature thing in this thing, you know, booking it. So we were under the assumption that they were going to leave UWF like it was and have UWF versus NWA or whatever, you know, they were out there, NWA, I believe, at the time. But it didn't transfer because, see, what happened on this thing was they just like you say, they just started filtering out the good UWF talent. And believe me, they paid for it because their ratings weren't near what UWF was. I still have some of those ratings with me, and I had it was unbelievable what we were doing. And, of course, the whole buyout was to purchase the television because, you know, Crockett and them saw that. And then they went out on their bashes, and then I believe they kind of overextended themselves. They drew money, but there was a lot of money being spent otherwise that I can't say about. But
yeah, Crockett didn't last that much longer before he ended up selling to Turner.
Well, they told us they were going to put out New York in a year. And, you know, that I was up there in that meeting, and I... You know, sometimes your mind will float away and it'll say, where am I going to be in a year or what's going to happen in a year? And, you know, it was almost a year that day. That was in 1987. And it was almost a year to that date that they finally had to sell out themselves. And Mrs. Crockett probably had the best head on her of all of the, you know, their mother. And she made them pull back into the Carolinas area at that time because... They were really overextending, trying to go out like, you know, McMahon was. And they had the right idea, but they were just, I think they were spending the money in the wrong way. And this is not a reflection on Dusty. Dusty's a great guy and a great creator. I mean, it was, you know, the Crockett family.
But he was stuck in a bureaucracy. Well, I don't know, a little later he was stuck in the bureaucracy, which was, you know, Bill Watts.
Yeah.
It was very frustrating for Bill.
It was frustrating for Bill, and I'll tell you another thing, too. I think if Bill had stayed, and, you know, the economy in Louisiana was going down a little bit, you know, and the oil crunch and everything, and I think Bill wanted to get out, but, you know, I've talked to Bill from time to time, and, you know, he kind of regrets it, but I think if Bill is just like going back to the hometown pitch, I mean, if he'd stayed... I don't think anybody would have run him out of that. I think that he'd still be operating. I really do. That's my sincere feelings. And had the Von Erichs done it the right way, they'd still be in business. Just because all these other territories have gone and everything, it's just like they say, well, they got put out of business. That's not true. They just stopped promoting. That's all.
Jack, you remember last week when Jim Duggan was on? And he had some choice words that really threw me for a loop. I wasn't going to ask him any WWF questions. And Hacksaw had some choice words for Jim Ross. You know, little heat there.
Well, you know, Jim, in 1979, when Bill and Leroy split, I took the book for Leroy for about a year, year and a half. And Jim Ross had run a show for us. He had a clothing store over in eastern Oklahoma. And he had ran a show, a spot show, and then he became a referee for a while. And he was doing high school football, and I heard him. And we needed a commentary partner for, I say commentating for Leroy, because he had Wayne Martin on there, an old-time veteran. And, you know, Wayne was, you know, a good guy, but kind of slow on there. And I'm really the one that was instrumental in giving Jim one of his first breaks. Yes, I understand that, and I talked to Dr. Depp the other day, and he was on the cell phone, and I was kind of chiding him a little bit, and I said, well, what are you doing? You calling Jim Ross right now? And he said, oh, no, no.
There are a lot of the Mid-South boys that are PO'd at Jim Ross.
They are, and I can't believe that happened in Oklahoma City, you know, and I don't know, but maybe he had his reasons and everything, you know, and... He honored Vince McMahon in that deal. I did not see that. Like I say,
you wouldn't want to, but at least Jim Ross, when he had the opportunity, and maybe it's you know a few years ago, but he at least had Danny Hodge involved and honored. And
oh yes,
Danny Hodge certainly deserves it, and he's a real sweet guy. But he's, you know, there's no bigger legend than Danny Hodge.
That's true. That's true. You know, Danny and I go back a long ways, too. The only time that I was ever a bona fide good guy, babyface, was with him for a short time. And, of course, then when we had our split and our feud, it was unreal. I'll tell you what, he's a legend. And when you wrestle him, and you were around that Oklahoma area or something like that, you could almost get killed in that right. Believe me, I know.
Jack, I should let you ask some stuff here.
Well, just one question. Do you ever keep in touch or know the whereabouts right now of Gary Hart?
Yes, yeah, Gary's he's around Dallas. He lives over here in the Mid-Cities in Bedford. I see him from time to time, but not much. He has a son that he's trying to push in the wrestling business. Chad's a good kid. Right now, you know, he's still learning. But Gary is doing okay.
Now, Skinner, I don't know if you ever watch on ESPN the Wrestling Classics that's now replaced roller derby at the 3 a.m. Pacific time slot, but
yes,
Gary Hart with bleach blonde hair is in quite a few of those late 50s Dumont Network kinescopes.
I saw that. And you knew who else was on those? Homer Odell.
Oh, yeah.
Homer Odell was on that. And, of course, Homer was one of my managers in Georgia when I was teamed with Buddy Cove back in the early 70s.
Buddy Cove, who also would have been an NWA World Champion, no doubt.
Yes, he would, yeah. Ron was just, he's an excellent guy, too.
We've got a commercial break, very last one. Guys, Jack, hang on tight.
All right.
And we'll be right back and finish up talking about Buddy Cove.
All right.
If you've had it with being overweight and want to say goodbye to that ugly body fat once and for all, here's some good news. You've heard how effective Body Solutions is, selling for as much as $60 a bottle. But now you can get the same miracle weight loss formula as Body Solutions for less than half that price with Miracle Slim Down. That's right, no more frustrating diets. Just take one tablespoon of Miracle Slim Down before bedtime, and your body will start burning fat like a furnace. Imagine losing weight while you sleep. Best of all, it's all natural and absolutely safe to use. No stimulants. This is the same amazing weight loss breakthrough you've been hearing about. But why overpay? So if you're allowing extra body weight to destroy your appearance, don't deprive yourself any longer. Miracle Slim Down comes with a risk-free guarantee, so you have nothing to lose but those extra pounds. Call 1-800-225-2799 to see what Miracle Slim Down can do for you. That's 1-800-225-2799. 1-800-225-2799.
This is Tony, the one and only in the Sports Lounge. We're on every Friday night from 11 to 12 midnight on CRN. Now, when you call the show, you'll hear about NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, hockey, boxing. We've got it all covered in the Sports Lounge. So call the Sports Lounge, 11 to 12 midnight on CRN. Baby.
Oh, you didn't know?
All right. Skander and Jack, besides Buddy Colt, another guy that they would have put the bond up for, he would have easily been an NWA champion, was the late, great Bobby Shane.
Yes. Yes, I remember when this tragic thing happened to Bobby, and I saw Bobby come up, and actually, Bobby's been around for a while, too. I started in 1963, really officially on the road, and I know Bobby was around shortly after that, I think about 65, and I think he's a protege of Bill Longson.
Yeah, Wild Bill.
Yeah, the great... that was a classy deal, that St. Louis, the Chase Hotel in those days. Bobby Bruns, Wild Bill Longson.
Yeah, that was great memories.
Was great.
And Sam Muchnick had sent Bobby Shane to Hawaii. He was a huge baby face, come out there with the flowered lace around his...
Sure did.
And he would kick the stuffings out of handsome Johnny Barron until Barron turned face. Jack, any last parting thoughts? Any thoughts on this WWE pay-per-view alternative on Sunday?
It might be good. The show originally starts. It's tomorrow night, but then the pay-per-view will be Sunday.
Oh, okay, so it's physically live tomorrow in Melbourne.
Right. I don't know if you remember a card that wound back was about 1987. It was the first time they ever put any WWF wrestlers. A bunch of other different guys from like the older school when they did the Paul Bosch Memorial.
Right, we were talking about that. That big one in Houston where everybody came out of the woodwork. Moskaris, Bruno, the list went on and on. Harley, Dick Bockwinkel, they all came out for this huge giant show that some of it's on tape. And Bruce and Tom Pritchard, who I know Ack knows well.
Oh, yes, Tommy, yeah. Yes, he's a good guy. He really is.
They did a documentary on Paul Bosch, and again, if you guys act, you got to do a book yourself, I think.
Yes, I'm really thinking serious about doing that, Mike. As a matter of fact, I'm going to get together with somebody and do it because there's so many things that I could make interesting for people, and so many things that have happened in my great career, and I want to say this, that I love everything that I've ever done, and I'd do it over again.
Even the tires.
I don't know about the tires and the cars and the windshields being busted, but, you know, that was all part of it. And, you know, it was a great life. But, of course, you'll never see that anymore in the business. As a matter of fact, you know, some way they've got my home address, which is okay, but a lot of people will call in for my pictures now. You know, like schools and stuff like that. Although I guess they see these tapes floating around somewhere, so they'll call in. And I did one for a middle school over in Broward County, I believe in Florida. I just sent them a couple of pictures, and they were elated about it. So I call those people purgatory fans. You know, they're in between now. And the Dallas Morning News did a real good article on me in September of 2000. You know, you can log on to that, and it was really a huge article. I really didn't think it was going to be that big, and the guy did a great, great article.
Well, the magazine I work for, Gong, not that long ago, on their back page legends, they had you on there. Now, Jerry Jarrett is, before we go, Jerry Jarrett is in June, I guess, starting weekly pay-per-views or something like that, and you know, Jerry probably needs some brain power, Act.
I wasn't aware of that. Yeah, I had a pretty good working relationships with him. Of course, he stepped in here in 1989 when Fritz finally got out of it. He didn't want it anymore, so he got in here with the boys while they were still alive and while Kerry was still here and Kevin. So I worked with Jerry for a while, and I always had a pretty good working relationships with him. And I did want to say that I'd always compliment him on how Jeff grew up, because really Jeff was a very respectable young man. And I think he broke him in the business the right way. I really do.
Yeah, so, you know, he's turned into a main event guy. Well, you're a main event guy because now you join an elite club in that you've lasted the full 2 hours, like Bruno Sammartino, ECW's Fran Payne.
I could do this all night, Mike. I've really enjoyed this, and I want to thank you for the opportunity of having me, for the opportunity for me being on your show, I should say, and all the great callers. And let me say this before I go: there's no fans in the world in any sport. The wrestling fans are unique, and they're great. And they're always hardcore fans, and they'll always be with us no matter what.
Well, no better said than that. Get out there and support. If you're in the Texas area, get out there and support him. Get out there and be trained properly by him. I want to thank Valerie Bosch. Boy, where'd you get them ears? Get out and support that book. Jack from Minnesota, as always, you're always a big help to the show. Mike Costanza, of course, my engineer Paul Madrid, who puts up with Wild Russell Talk every week for 2 hours. I want to thank you guys, of course, General Skandar Akbar. It's been our pleasure, and we'll see you guys next week on Russell Talk.
Yeah,
thank you, Ack.
Thanks. Right. Thanks very much.
Thank you, everybody. Have a great week. Stay tuned for Tony in the Sports Lounge.